You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms His covenant, which He swore to your ancestors, as it is today. The word of the Lord. If you are at all like me, you struggle at times to remember just how you came into possession of certain items that have been a blessing in your life. When the journey of life gets a little longer and the items that fill your toolbox or your workbench or even your kitchen drawers with utensils grows extensive, you may not have ready recall when someone assisting you or borrowing from you sees that gadget, asks what it's for, impressed that you have it, asks you, where in the world did you get something like that? And it takes some thought work. You're trying to remember, was that one of the family hand-me-downs? Or was that even a wedding gift? Or was it an expression of thanks, a token of appreciation for an act of kindness long forgotten? But in the search, through your mind, through the archives, there's a moment of remembrance of a long ago relationship, someone you haven't seen for a, who knows what reasons, for a very long time, and you're wishing you could thank them once again for blessing your life with something that came in quite handy or was a conversation starter in awkward moments or was a blessing of some other nature. A well-timed and insightful gift from a friend often will bring back wonderful memories. I don't know that I can even begin to imagine what it must have been like to be one of the generation of Israelites that was just about to enter the Promised Land. The words in front of us that remind us to be thankful, to acknowledge the God of creation, to be the one who authors and appoints all things in our existence. He reminds us here of a moment when Moses was offering his farewell thoughts. It was days on end that he spoke to the Israelites. He himself was not going to be allowed to go into the Promised Land. The generation that now stood before him, many of whom were born out in the wilderness, had known that their nation had been slaves in Egypt for generations, for literally over 400 years. And God had sent Moses, a very old man at the time, even in his early 80s, to be their deliverer. And 40 years of time had passed, almost 40 years, to this moment when he also reminds them of how God was the one who had freed them from captivity. You recall the 10 plagues that God sent on Egypt and the result? At the moment that God had determined, because of the most egregious of all the plagues, taking life, human life and animal life that was treasured in the whole land of Egypt, the people said, go, get out of here. Take anything you want, just go. And they were able to flee. Millions of people, all in a moment, until they found themselves trapped up against the Red Sea, wondering what in the world was going to happen, because once they had realized what the departure of this nation meant for their labor force, Pharaoh's army, the most mighty army of the moment in world history, was thundering down upon them. Moses raised his staff at God's command and made a clear path through that sea. Millions of people made their way, and as the last foot left the seabed, the dry seabed on which they had crossed, and Moses put down his staff, that trailing army, believing it was ready to conquer, was drowned by an act of God, walls of water crashing upon them. Israel sang in celebration the next day, but it didn't take long before they were complaining. And even though God himself made sure they understood on a daily basis, continuously, by day it was a pillar of cloud, by night it was a pillar of fire, his presence was with them. They knew where they were supposed to be. They knew how long they were supposed to be there. And they knew where they were going to go next because God was going to lead them there. He surrounded them with his promises. And then he took it a step further. Every morning, the dew presented to them food for the day. On the occasion that they demanded it, God sent them meat as well. There was water from rock, as cited in these verses. There was deliverance in so many ways. Venomous snakes brought about a bronze serpent to look at in faith and abide by God's promise and be healed. And so now you come to this moment. A moment that didn't need to be so prolonged in Israel's history. They had been at the same point once before, almost really within a short year of leaving captivity. But the spies that had been sent into the promised land to sort out how they were going to go about conquering it, only two came back with a faithful report, encouraging the people to go ahead. Everybody else was frightened by the description of the people of that land and their power and their might, their stature and their fierce determination to protect their land. And so they led a rebellion. And that entire generation would have to wander in the wilderness for not trusting the God of promises who had done so much for them already. But even then, God was faithful. This generation knew that not a stitch of clothing or a pair of footwear ever wore out that entire time they were in the wilderness. And they wandered and wandered and wandered while that generation that rebelled against God had presented a new generation to follow the Creator, listening to his promises. And now Moses tells them, in so many words, you're going to be like your parents. This moment is going to come that you will forget the Lord your God and all that he has done for you. Even though he's about to give you a land that you will not have to conquer by force, but rather if you follow his strategies and follow his plan, you will live in houses you haven't built. You will tend flocks and herds that you didn't breed. You will harvest from gardens and fields and vineyards that you didn't plant or tend. That is how God could speak to generation after generation of Israelites ever since he first promised it to their ancestor Abraham, roughly 100 years before Joseph was sold into slavery, that there would be this sojourn in Egypt and then God would bring his people back to a land flowing with milk and honey. That euphemism is intended to help them understand that even their greatest desires would be simply showered upon them at God's gracious giving. That was about to play out. And Moses was concerned that when they experienced all of this, and they were living in the wealth and blessing of the land that they were about to enter, the day would come when they would suddenly get their back up and look God in the eye and say, It's my smarts, and it's my strength, and it's my ability. It's my strategy that has built this life for me. And forget how it was indeed the Lord that had given it all to them. And that's why he reminds them one more time of how gracious and good, how complete the nature of God's love is, leaving no situation or needed item unattended to. How do you and I measure up against that generation of Israelites in the moment in which we live, in the land in which we live? We're pounded on a daily basis with the idea that we have to make sure the world around us knows what we contribute and value it. Know also what we have accomplished and equally value that. When it's all said and done, even those of us who don't really need one have conjured up something of a resume of life, of the things we've seen and done, accomplished and accumulated that had to do with our smarts and our strength and our opportunities that we created. Those moments of insight that really weren't happenstance at all, but were actually the fulfillment of our God, who tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 that every good thing that we will ever do in life was planned in advance for us to do, because we are God's workmanship, doing His will in the world, doing His work at His directing, His choosing when and how those opportunities will be there for us to match the moment with our skill, our experience, our training. There is nothing about our daily lives that we can look at and say, this was all me. We can't look at a single relationship that way. We can't look at a single moment of our livelihoods and vocations that way. Nor can we look at anything we set our minds and our hearts and our hands to doing. Because every resource available to us, including who we are, all of it's from God. All of it determined by Him as to what would be ours and when it would be ours, with His goal of our using it to His glory, to demonstrate our thanks to Him for everything He showered upon us. But we would be remiss if we did not also acknowledge the reality of deliverance that Moses was pointing to as the ultimate reason why you and I thank God. God isn't just a creator and a deliverer of goods and opportunity. God is a deliverer of eternal life. The whole interaction between God and the Israelites over hundreds of years is a pattern, almost a metaphor, for the journey of every human through life, moving from place to place as God directs, and so very often because of our human nature, our sinful human nature, just like the Israelites, you and I will forget the bigger reality of our relationship with the One who cares for us, cares about us, desires to be invested in a relationship with us that understands all that He gives us, every daily blessing, but the eternal ones even more. The forgiveness of sins, the righteousness to stand before Him, approved to live with Him forever because of all that He has done for us. When Moses points to the moment as one to remember how God shaped them, disciplined them, chastened them through the giving of good things every morning in that manna that rained down from heaven for them to eat, what he's really pointing to is this idea that it's important for us to understand in a disciplined way every single day that we will not take our next breath if God does not allow it, and that every single thing about our lives is from Him as a generous giver who ultimately is most concerned about our eternal life with Him in a place that we will never know need. And everything that we will set our hands and minds and hearts to do will be completely fulfilling in every way. We'll never think of it as work or effort. Never again. If that sounds wonderful, it is the promise of God from the very beginning that He would undo that curse of work and effort, of toil and sweat that came upon Adam and Eve because of their desire to live their own way and not acknowledge God and His truth. Now He's done that for us as well. Those ancient Israelites, they only look forward to that moment. As a motivating thing, it could only be something they knew God would do for them someday. You and I look back upon it as an accomplished thing and understand God's deliverance and God's providence, God's generosity and His compassion in a completely different way than they could ever imagine. We see God's acts of love and deliverance fulfilled, and yet we also forget. It's such an easy temptation, isn't it? Do we still have reason to remember the Lord our God? We have all the same reasons the Israelites did. And so many, many more. But ultimately, every word, every promise, every prophecy of our God fulfilled in His own coming and living and dying and rising, pay for our sins, to give us certainty and hope that we will live with Him forever. And there can be no greater reason to not only give thanks to our God every day of our existence, but to also remember Him for all He is and every last thing that He has done. Amen.